That's from an album called Get Happy, virtuoso show tunes for piano. Jenny Lynn, the pianist there, with a pretty cool arrangement of music from My Fair Lady. That was Eliza in Ascot. And of course, theater music is where I turn to when I know my guests are the passionate and knowledgeable Rob Weiner and Jeremy Koch of Farmers Alley Theater. It's great to welcome you back to WMUK, fellas.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
We're happy to hear you. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I told our listeners about 5 minutes ago that there is lots for us to talk about, including an exciting partnership with Broadway On Demand that will bring incredible quality theater to our screens here in West Michigan. But we got to tell the story since it's been a while. We need to tell the story of how Farmers Alley Theater adapted to the pandemic when theaters suddenly became places we couldn't gather anymore. And I think that goes back to March 13th or so. And you had, you were a days away, right, from premiering?
Yeah, March 13th was the day that Lost in Yonkers, one of our spring shows, was set to open. And the night before, the 12th, is when the governor went on television, basically said that schools were closing the following Monday. And nationally, the coronavirus and this, you know, lockdown kind of began. And I remember, Jeremy, you know, that day right before was one of the most difficult days in our theater's history to figure out what we wanted to do, right?
That's right. That's right. I mean, we had to make that really tough call. You know, you work so hard on something. I mean, you know, imagining just we're spending months on pre-production and planning and getting the cast together and all the designers, and you know, to that point where it's the Thursday night, the invited dress rehearsal, and you do this great, you know, thing, this show, and you get that one performance, and you have to make that tough decision to not even open the following night, which was March 13th. It was pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, and, you know, Carol, we were, like all of us, because we're all in this together, you know, okay, it's going to be a few weeks or a month or two, and then the future, you know, sort of like the finish line or whatever you want to call it with this, because I'm not sure that was ever realistic to begin with, but kept moving on us. And, you know, shortly thereafter, the Gilmore Keyboard Festival was postponed, and therefore our production of Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. And then as we got further along into it, we kind of realized that our summer programming that we had scheduled, two musicals, Bright Star, and that to be directed by Kathy Millay, and High Fidelity, which I was going to direct as a big cast, also has to be canceled and postponed. And, you know, our sincere hope is to be able to bring all of these shows back in some capacity to our audiences. But in the meantime, we were able to, you know, hop online, as so many of us have during this time, and try to remain engaged with our audience in some, you know, fun and interesting content about theater. One of the things we were super proud of, we did sort of a virtual fundraiser back in May called The Sun Is Going to Shine that helped Farmers Alley Theater, as well as we had a partnership with Bronson to get donations to, you know, first responders and frontline workers. And as the summer progressed, we had some really wonderful opportunities to continue to talk with our community and meet with them. And I know that Jeremy is really proud of, well, one of our collaborations that happened at the end of the summer as well.
That's right, Kara. We were fortunate to collaborate with Face Off Theater Company and the Black Arts and Cultural Center on a joint production of the Bob Marley musical for Theater for Young Audiences musical called Three Little Birds. And, you know, due to the pandemic, where it's not really safe to have people gather indoors, we decided to look for some outdoor venues. And we were able to produce this charming, clever, heart, you know, love, filled with love and peace and joy, based on the music of Bob Marley and a book written by his daughter, Sidella. And we were able to do it at two different local parks, Lacrone Park and Bronson Park.
And we, how was the turnout for, how was the, did you see lots of families and faces?
Absolutely. Turnout was great. I mean, we warned people. We said, look, you got to stay socially distanced. We spray painted the grass and, you know, you stay in your little circle and stay away from everybody. Wear masks. Everybody wore masks except when the performers were on stage. They did take them off at that point, but they had sort of been quarantined together, so they felt safe. And everybody felt safe, and we got great turnout. Little ones were able to come and enjoy, and it's pretty clever. The music's great, of course, and there's a clever script. And so even adults, people of all ages truly enjoyed the show overall. So we consider it a great success.
People who work in theater, from the actors on stage to all the people behind, they don't like to be idle or bored, do they?
No, not at all.
I'm a naturally energetic group of people.
Absolutely. Artists, and people that support artists, you know, from directors, designers, crew members, you know, we all have that itch inside us to create. And, you know, there's times when you just have to get creative about how you create, you know, and you have to think outside the box. And that's exactly what we did. We said, well, we've got to do something. How can we do it? And it took a, you know, long story short, we all sat down and tried to figure that out. And through health and safety protocols and doing it outdoors and all the things I just mentioned, we were able to do that. And another element of it, Kara, that I want to mention quickly is that we were very proud to also feel like that we were helping to bring the community together in this time of racial inequality with the Black Lives Matter movement. I had three women of color leading the way as director, music director, and choreographer, Marissa Harrington, Monica Washington, and Heather Mitchell, respectively. And I'm proud to partner with Uplift Kalamazoo and King Ryan Singleton, his organization. And he was able to help us get Black-owned businesses as vendors. So you could come a little early, do a little shopping, support a Black-owned business, watch the show, which features a story set in Jamaica. It was a Black story. And Bob Marley, of course, as a composer. And so it just really felt like we were also a part of, you know, a larger, more grandiose movement. So I just want to give a shout out to those people as well.
Sure. This was a dual crisis, if not more than dual, you know.
Absolutely.
But attention was absolutely critical on both issues, the safety of being safe during COVID and recognizing that the people of color who are our friends and neighbors are struggling with something that a lot of white people can't see and need to pay attention to. Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know, a lot of self-recognition and acknowledgement of, you know, the privileged place that we've been able to sit from and been working and will continue to strive to work towards more equity within our organization. One thing I do want to get back to, Kara, is when you're like, is this hard for you to sit idly by? I mean, the reason why the theater arts is so magical to me and to so many people in the industry who love it is because of that connection that we have with the audience, that communal experience of going together and being, you know, 10 feet away from the action if you're a Farmer's Alley theater, and you feel that magic. And if there's just something about live theater face-to-face that is different than, you know, watching a TV show or going to a movie. And now we're sort of hybriding that in its own way because of the pandemic. And I think we've really done a lot of things to break down barriers to allow us to connect to our audience through the screen, even so with a lot of our at-home programming that's free through our Facebook channels and our YouTube channels and on our website as well. And then also, as we're going to discuss here, some of this new original work that we're going to be premiering through our Farmer's Alley Theater online platform with the help of Broadway On Demand.
Yeah, Rob, if I can just piggyback on that, Kara, the one final element on that Three Little Birds was partnering with corporate sponsors and other organizations to fund the production so that we could offer it for free. So Rob makes a good point about, you know, some of our programming that is currently free, and Three Little Birds, our patrons were able to come and watch that for free. And it was important to us to try to remove the, you know, some financial barriers and make theater more accessible to everyone. And being in a public park, it sort of removes those location barriers where maybe someone doesn't know exactly where they're going, or, you know, for something like Farmers Alley Theater, or maybe, who knows, maybe doesn't even feel welcome or that it's a safe space. And so being in a public park removed those location barriers. So a shout out to all of the corporate sponsors and foundations that helped us make that free.
The community has been so supportive of Farmers Alley Theater, so many other arts organizations, our patrons, our sponsors, and that has really given us a lot of, you know, hope and light as we move through this crisis and hopefully towards a brighter future.
Absolutely. If you just tuned in, my guests are Deputy Director Rob Weiner and Artistic Director Jeremy Koch of Farmers Alley Theater, which I think last year was the 11th season. Am I mixing?
Last year was actually our 12th season.
12th, okay.
And
so
we were halfway through the 12th.
Yeah. It's a decade and some change, and it's considered an invaluable gem in Kalamazoo and beyond for not only hiring and using local talent, but also bringing in equity actors from Los Angeles and from New York, and people that are just full on stars to join us in our community and see them up close and personal at the theater downtown. Now, why don't we start talking about what's coming up this month? Because very shortly, you will be featuring another one of those stars who happens to be close to us, Dwandra Nicole Lampkin. And perhaps I could send it back to you to tell us a little bit about this production that will open on the virtual stage October 29th.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. We are so excited. Dwandra is amazing. If anyone does not know, she is an associate professor of acting at Western Michigan University. She's a professional actress and has worked not only on stage, but in TV and film. And she wrote this original play, a one-woman play called The Conviction of Lady Lorraine. Farmers Alley actually produced it as part of our Spotlight series back in January of 2018. And it was a huge hit, standing room only. Word of mouth was great. And we were thrilled to consider bringing it back. And we were actually thinking of doing a full stage production, but we've actually brought it back as a teleplay, which is basically a play that has been sort of converted to work well on TV and film, or on your computer or laptop or tablet.
Yeah.
And this production, we Dwandra has some connection to a film documentarian company based out of Chicago called The Walking Mechanics. So this production is co-directed by D.D. Batiste and Thomas Murray, who are founding members of The Walking Mechanics, and this is what they do. They make film. They convert stories into film. And she came in, and we filmed it in our space, in Farmers Alley, with no audience. They filmed, and Nick Muerling is the final member, and he was the videographer and the video director. And the basic plot is we invite you to share in this unique and original solo performance where one woman searches for insight and another woman's fight for justice. A chance encounter in the deep South triggers a journey to find the truth. One person may find it on a single street corner, keeping vigilant watch over a monument to civil rights, while another's path winds through the confusing thicket of race relations in contemporary America. It's basically the story. It's autobiographical, where the character of Dee sees this woman, this homeless woman, protesting outside the Lorraine Motel, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., of course, was assassinated. And she is trying to right a social wrong. She feels that it's wrong how Martin Luther King's legacy is connected to his death rather than his, you know, practices and principles in what he fought for in real life. And she wants to tell that story, but she is told no. And so it's also a parallel to today. What do you do when you're an artist and you're told no? You sometimes have to think outside the box, right? And you have to create a different way or tell a different story. And Dwandra is fantastic. She's phenomenal. She played multiple characters. I think range is the best word for what she does. She shows tremendous range, not only emotionally, when you think of an actor or an actress showing range emotionally, but also she's playing characters, both male and female. characters from age as little kids to elderly. Her voices are sometimes low or high-pitched. She has different accents and dialects, characters with different rhythms. She does it all. She can be warm and charming, sometimes rough and abrasive, depending on her character. I mean, Dwandra and her characters are smart, funny, heartbreaking, always poignant and always riveting.
Jeremy, did you also say she wrote it? Yes?
She did. Yeah. Dwandra is the playwright and the lead actress, and had some phenomenal ideas on how to best tell the story. And these waltzing mechanics, if you will, these artists that we brought in from Chicago to help us film and get the sound just right and present this riveting package, they are phenomenal as well. They were so great to work with, so organized, so creative, so talented. We really just can't wait. I mean, this is a first for us, right, Rob? I mean, we've never really done anything like this before, where we've brought in a film crew, you know, with audio to kind of record something like this.
I mean, this is unique, and I think a lot of theaters are doing things similar now. But we wanted to make sure for our audience, which expects a high-quality product, that we were able to bring in professionals to make it look as such. I'm not saying it's going to look as good as Hamilton on Disney Plus, but that's the kind of bar that we want to set for ourselves. And, you know, the protocol, and I want to thank everyone again, like Jeremy said, I was involved with it. You know, and Carrie Phillips and Roger Burley are two sort of stage managers and production managers. We made sure that everything was safe, protocols. Everyone who entered the theater got tested for COVID, got tested negative. Jeremy, I know you got the other swab up to your brain there.
Oh, my gosh. And,
but,
not fun. Yeah. Rob, this will all be for naught if we don't tell listeners how they can access it.
Yeah, so we're so thrilled to be working with this online platform called Broadway On Demand. And the tickets for that will be available through our website beginning this week. We're still making sure that everything's set up properly. So when tickets do finally go on sale this week, it will be super simple for you. A link on our website will take you to Broadway On Demand. And that you'll have the opportunity to make your ticket purchase there. And then you'll get a link and a code. And then once the show premieres on October the 29th, which is a Thursday, for that entire week, you have the opportunity to watch it as many times as you like. I think the performance is, you know, under 90 minutes. And what's really exciting about the platform, Broadway On Demand, is you don't have to sit necessarily in front of your computer to watch it. I mean, you can, but the Broadway On Demand channel is also available through Apple TV, through Amazon Fire Stick, and through Roku. So if you have any of those at home, that's just a wonderful way to see the show.
Oh, wow.
From the comfort of your own home.
So it really is on demand, not just open for a two-hour screening on the 29th.
Yeah, and Broadway On Demand has over 80,000, you know, people who have gone to their website and have purchased things. And if you go there, you know, not even just looking for Farmers Alley stuff, you'll see stuff from all over the country. And what's exciting for us is that, you know, it's not just going to be West Michigan audiences who could download and watch the commission of Lady of the Rain. It could be people from all over the country, all over the world, in fact. And so that's really exciting as well.
Mm-hmm. FarmersAlleyTheater.com is your website, and you'll have information posted there this week to access The Conviction of Lady Lorraine, written and performed by Dwandra Nicole Lampkin. I have been itching to blurt out that there's a weird 70, 80-year wrinkle here, where it's reminding me a bit of as you describe putting this production on screen, it's reminding me of the early days of television when they just were adapting theater to this tiny screen as fast as they could. And a lot of great performers are in those early, like the Studio One series, Jack Lemmon, you know, they're bringing theater to life on the screen. And this is a time that's requiring something similar.
Well, right, we've had so much conversations among our team and other artists, you know, and theater people throughout the top down about, you know, what's the best way, what's the future of theater hold? What's the best way to connect with our audiences right now? Yeah, the online stuff is great, but there's nothing like being in the theater. And, you know, I'm sort of among the mind that this sort of online component with the live theater are kind of going to run parallel with each other for a while until people feel 100% safe to get out there, until theaters can, you know, hold the capacity that makes sense for them, you know, financially, because, you know, it is a business after all, a nonprofit that we run here. But, you know, so I think there's a lot of opportunity for experiential theater, for, you know, experimental theater even. And so I'm excited to see where it holds. And we're just so grateful that as we're sort of doing this as a theater community, not just us, almost by the seat of our pants, but the audiences are hungry for this as well. And just, again, the response that we've received, we know that when we come back with these offerings and then whatever, you know, the future may hold in 2021, that theater audiences are very loyal. And we know that people are thirsty for this sort of artistic connection, and just grateful to be able to provide that if possible.
I'm going to jump in here with a bit of a plug for watching your YouTube, your Facebook discussions. If you need something to sustain that feeling of theater insiderism, they're a great way. These videos you've made are such a great way to feel like, oh, excited about theater again. It's fun to watch you and the main circle of creators with Farmers Alley Theater even arguing about your favorite things. It's great fun.
We love connecting with our, you know, with our audiences, and right now we have to connect with them virtually, and it's really fun to do so in those different ways, you know, whether it's, you know, an interview series like I do called The Koch Corner, or Broadway Battles, where you kind of argue for your favorite, whatever, song, composer, scene, actor, whatever it might be. And then we'd have some new things coming. Well, actually one premiere and one new premiere this Thursday that we'll tell you about. But yeah, that's the key, is connecting with people however we can. And so doing that virtually right now has sort of been a silver lining. And another silver lining, I would say, to piggyback on what Rob was talking about, is that I think this online virtual aspect could come in handy in other ways too. I could see us being able, you know, there's a lot of snowbirds in Michigan, Kara. I don't know if you're aware of that, but a lot of our patrons, you know, they leave Michigan during the cold months. I can't imagine why, but they do that. And so often they miss some of some of our productions. And well, if we continue this trend of, you know, recording things on a high quality way with high quality camera and recording equipment, we might be able to send them a link and say, you know, you can see every show if you're a subscriber, you know, or if you want to just purchase tickets virtually, we can send you a link and you can watch a high quality version of the show from your computer down in Florida or Arizona or California or wherever you might be.
I have to say that, as in radio, producing content is a very expensive thing. It just is. That's why we have pledge drives on the radio. And so I would imagine a purchase of a ticket can actually go a long way with your organization toward not only putting a show on, but archiving it and making it accessible. Those are all different layers that cost money.
Absolutely. But you're right in the sense that, you know, Rob mentioned what kind of reach Broadway On Demand has and a lot of these online platforms have. And our hope is that, you know, perhaps we reach viewers and patrons outside of Kalamazoo, maybe even outside of Michigan, and maybe people throughout the country hear about us word of mouth, and they see what we're doing, and maybe, you know, they buy a ticket or they subscribe from all across the country and even across the world. And wouldn't you say, Rob?
Absolutely. You know, when I purchase a ticket to a show that I want to see, it's usually because I want to see that specific show. And of course, we're hope we're doing things that entice people. And, you know, The Conviction of Lady Lorraine is a wonderful show that I think everyone from all walks of life can enjoy and get something out of. But there is that added bonus nowadays, and I feel that when I'm patronizing somewhere, it's like, yes, I want this product, but I also want to support this business as well. And, you know, our patrons have been incredibly supportive. But when you think about it, a ticket to a show normally costs almost double of what we're charging online. And considering that a family or a couple only have to purchase one ticket to see it at home on Broadway on Demand, maybe that will incentivize people to say, maybe I do want to help support the theater. Maybe I do want to purchase this, not just because I think this is entertaining and enlightening, but because it's a small business, you know, eat local. I mean, we don't serve food at Farmers Valley Theater, but I want to, you know, art local. And I think that's another boon that supporting us helps, and, you know, supporting all these wonderful arts organizations throughout the community, regardless of what they're doing right now, is truly important.
I'm touching base right now with Farmers Alley Theater's Rob Weiner and Jeremy Koch, and we've been telling the story of the behind the scenes at Farmers Alley. An exciting thing coming up October 29th will be the debut of The Conviction of Lady Lorraine, featuring writer and actress Dewandra Nicole Lampkin in a one-woman show set outside the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Now, let's move on to some other offerings that that you're planning, including a chance to go down memory lane, it sounds like, with Farmers Alley in a show called, or a presentation called, By Request.
That's right.
And I was just talking about By Request is going to be a virtual fundraiser for us in November, where we're actually going to be letting our audience pick what they want to hear some of our performers sing or do scenes from. So we're going to be sending out a survey to our mailing list. And if you'd like to get in on that mailing list, feel free to go to our website and to get your information on there, or go to our Facebook page and follow us there. But yeah, we're going to be looking back through those 12 years and with using archival footage along with live performers, going through, some of the highlights of our past 12 years. So, Jeremy, I don't know if, or Kara, actually, I should ask Kara, not Jeremy. I don't know, is there a specific show or performance that you would be interested in seeing, or you think that Jeremy can tackle for you? I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. That's a hard one. It would be probably a musical, though. Maybe the producers.
I don't know if your listeners are aware, Kara. Of course, I know they're aware that you're a wonderful musician, but are they aware that you've played in a couple of our pits?
I don't know if they are, but I've loved participating so much with your theater from time to time. Like The Producers was definitely a highlight for me.
Yeah.
And that's opening. That's coming November 21st. But it sounds like it'll require some input before that. So join the mailing list of Farmers Alley Theater at farmersalleytheater.com. Is that right, Jeremy?
That's right. Yep, farmersalleytheater.com, and you can enter your email address and join our email list. You can also follow us on Facebook, or Instagram, or Twitter. And we also have a YouTube channel. So please go to youtube.com/. Farmers Alley Theater and like and subscribe.
Now, it seems like when the holidays arrive, all sorts of organizations put on a concert in the first 2 weeks of December. Farmers Alley Theater has always kept trucking along all the way through New Year's, as if they understand that families in close proximity need an outlet from time to time.
That's right.
It's not possible this year, but you are going to be there for us for the holidays.
Absolutely. We are working on a virtual presentation called Home for the Holidays with Farmers Alley Theater and Friends. It's going to be sponsored by the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo. And we wanted to celebrate not only Farmers Alley and all the wonderful people that work so hard to make it a success, but also shine a little spotlight on the Kalamazoo arts community as well, and maybe feature some familiar faces from some other local arts organizations too. And so you'll get special holiday performances from your Farmers Alley favorites, but then maybe see a few familiar faces from perhaps the Symphony or Face Off Theater or Western Michigan University, and maybe Kristen Chesick from the Arts Council. We're working on that right now, and we want to celebrate the sounds of the season and bring some joy and fun into the homes of audiences everywhere. And that's also going to be available streaming on Broadway On Demand in December.
Well, we're reaching the end of our time together here today. Although I am happy to tell listeners that I will be speaking with DeWandra Nicole Lampkin about her one-woman show very soon, coming up in the upcoming weeks, and be able to focus a little bit on that particular production. Let's remind listeners what we've talked about this hour, including the one-woman show, which becomes available October 29th. Then by request, which requires some listener input, that's coming November 21st. And Home for the Holidays will be streamable starting December 12th. Finally, tell us again about how to just join in for free online on Facebook with various various battles and presentations that you offer.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you just go to Facebook and just search for Farmers Alley Theater, you should be able to find our page. And there's always lots of great information, pictures, links. And when we go live, it'll say it right there. In fact, if you follow us, if you like our page, you can get notifications, and it'll say something like Farmers Alley is about to go live or Farmers Alley has gone live. And then you just can click right on it and jump into something this Thursday, the premiere this Thursday at 8 p.m., the premiere of Dinner and a Show with Julie Nemeth and friends, where she will make a recipe and talk theater with some friends, with her guests. Oh. We still have our Broadway battles hosted by usually either Adam or myself or Rob. And then Rob just launched a new series this past Sunday. Rob, do you want to talk about that?
Oh, sure. I mean, this past Sunday. So, and all of our shows are archived either on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel or on our website. So if you go to any of those places right now, you'll see what we did this past Sunday night, which was a show called Lights, Camera, Musical, where every month we'll look at a famous stage-to-screen adaptation of a beloved movie musical. And sometimes we'll have a Farmers Alley Theater bend to it, as it did this past Sunday when we looked at the Little Shop of Horrors movie from 1986 with Rick Moranis. Mm-hmm. And we had our Seymour from when we did it back in 2015, Harrison Bryan join us. Yeah. Jeremy, who was our dentist in our production, was on there as well. And we sort of just went through the movie and talked about, you know, if it holds up, what are the good parts, what are the parts that haven't aged as well. And so it was just a really fun hour-long conversation. And if you want to do any kind of homework next month, we're going to be discussing the film adaptation of Chicago. So if you haven't seen that or you need to refresh yourself, watch that one. And then we'll be chatting it up with some Denison for the Windy City, I think, next month as well. But there's so much wonderful stuff there. If you haven't any of our Farmers Alley Theater at Home programming, that's all available, like Jer said, for free in our archive, either on Facebook, YouTube, or our website.
I enjoy, even though I feel so sad that our artistic incredibly busy and full artistic opportunities in life in this town has gone away for these kinds of band-aids do help, I must say. It still keeps me in touch. I enjoy your presentations as well as those of many other arts organizations we have in town. It's the best we have at the moment, and it reminds me that how much I care about this town and its survival as a light in art, in all kinds of arts. It's just so important. And I do have a confession. If you go live and I've had a glass of wine, I do get very opinionated after a glass.
Yeah.
So if you see me typing
we'll
in all capitals.
Maybe we'll have to have you on one of our Broadway battle shows and make sure you get pour yourself a glass before you begin.
You'll get an opinion, but it won't be an expert opinion. That's for sure.
Well, you're absolutely right, Kara. There's nothing like live performances, live art, live theater, live music, live dance, all of that. And we miss it tremendously. And there's people that know that it's there's nothing like it, and it can change people's lives. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's so visceral, and you need to experience it. But since we can't do that right now, like you said, we're coming up with these other ways to stay connected and to stay creative. But the arts industry has been hit really hard with this pandemic, and it's a reason why Rob mentioned earlier that we really can use the support. All arts organizations. In fact, there's a big push right now. Where people can sort of reach out to their local elected, politicians, whether it's Senate, Congress, on the federal or state level, and say, help fund this billion-dollar industry that's been hit so hard, and let's have a relief package, a financial relief package for the arts industry, the way we've done with so many other aspects of the business industry.
I hope you will share that on your Facebook page too.
We will. We are working on that right now.
Oh, great. Rob and Jeremy, I'm so thrilled to talk to you again. Did you have any final thoughts, Rob? I think Jeremy just gave us a nice summary, but wanted to give you a chance to as well.
No, before I came on, I was like, Kara's going to ask, Rob, how are you? And how are you is a loaded question nowadays.
Mm.
It's like, we're all searching for joy, for something to spark us, something to return us to any sort of normalcy. I feel like theater and music and the arts in general are the things that separate us as humans, that allow us to connect better, to put yourself in people's shoes better, and allow yourself to see the world through many different lenses, and any way that we can keep that alive has to be vital, has to have importance for it. And so whatever you can do, whether supporting it financially, creating yourself, or just using your voice by voting for people that will support the arts, I think that as humans is something that we have the right to do, and just know that art are so vital and important to a community and a society that we cannot take it for granted.
Well, we'll leave it right there. My guests have been Rob Weiner and Jeremy Koch of Farmers Alley Theater. FarmersAlleyTheater.com is the website. You can follow them on Facebook, where they're very active with ways to stay in touch and ways to interact if you love the theater in Kalamazoo. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kara. It's always wonderful to be here. You're such a great supporter, and we appreciate you and your listeners so much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick at my chin.